Tom Courtney was astonished to see that his wife had been weeping. Her eyes were swollen and red. He could not remember the last time that had happened, for Sarah was not much given to tears. She did not dismount or make any move to introduce him to the pale girl who rode beside her into the camp. "We need to be alone for a while before Louisa is ready to meet you," she told him firmly, and the girl kept her head down and her eyes averted as they rode past and went to the last wagon in the line. The two women disappeared behind the afterclap, the canvas screen at the back of the wagon, and Sarah called for the servants to bring the copper hip bath and buckets of hot water from the cooking fire. The mysterious chest that she had ordered to be loaded onto the wagon, which they had carried with them from High Weald, contained everything that a girl might need. The two men were sitting beside the fire on the rimpy camp chairs, the backs and seats laced with the criss-crossed rawhide strips that gave the chairs the name. They were drinking coffee, and Tom had laced their mugs with a liberal dram of Holland's gin. They were still discussing everything that had overtaken the family since their last meeting, and were making plans on how to proceed. They both skirted tactfully around the subject of Louisa and how she fitted into these plans. The nearest Tom had come to it was to say, "That is women's business. We will have to let your mother decide." Night had fallen, and out on the plain the jackals were wailing. "What is your mother doing?" Tom complained. "It's long past my dinner time, and I'm hungry." As if she had heard, Sarah came up from the last wagon carrying a lantern and leading Louisa by the hand. As they stepped into the firelight, both men stared bemusedly at the girl. Jim was as amazed as his father. Sarah had washed Louisa's hair with lavender-scented soap from England, then rubbed it dry, brushed it, trimmed the ragged ends, and caught it up with a satin ribbon. It hung down her back in a lustrous wave. Her blouse was buttoned demurely at the throat and the sleeves at the wrists. The full skirt just allowed her ankles to peep out from under the hem. White stockings hid the faint scars of the leg irons. The firelight emphasized the smooth perfection of her skin and the size of her eyes. Tom stared at her, and Sarah preempted any humorous remark he might come up with. "This is Jim's friend Louisa Laufen. She may be staying with us for a while." It was an understatement. "Louisa, this is my husband, Mr. Thomas Courtney." Louisa made one of her graceful curtsies. "You're welcome, Louisa." Tom bowed. Sarah smiled. She hadn't seen him do that for a while. Her husband was not the courtly kind. "So much for your prison drab, Tom Courtney," she thought complacently. "I give you instead a golden Dutch daffodil." She glanced at her only son and saw his expression. No doubt about where Jim stands, either. It seems that Louisa has been unanimously elected to the Courtney clan. Later that night, Sarah and Tom settled under the blankets in their nightclothes. Even down here on the plains, the nights were chilly. For 20 years they had slept like spoons, one body fitted into the curve of the other, changing places when one rolled over without waking or losing contact. That night they lay in poignant silence, neither wanting to be the first to speak. Tom gave in first.
"She's rather pretty," he ventured.
"You might say so," Sarah agreed. "You might even go so far as to say she's no prison drab."
"I never said that," Tom sat up indignantly, but she pulled him down again and cuddled comfortably into the warm bulge of his belly. "Well, if I did say it, I'd take it back now."
She knew how much it cost him to admit that he was wrong, and her heart went out to him. "I have spoken to her," she said. "She is a good girl."
"Well, if you say so, that's all right then." He closed the subject.
They began drifting towards sleep.
"I love you, Tom Courtney," she murmured drowsily.
"I love you, Sarah Courtney," he replied. "Young Jim will be a lucky lad if she ever makes him half as happy as you make me."
Usually he scorned what he called mawkishness. This was a rare pronouncement.
"Why, Tom Courtney, sometimes you can still surprise me," she whispered.